Hello, fellow Kentuckians and other friends, and welcome to a new edition of My Old Kentucky Podcast. My name is Robert Connie, and joining me, as always, is Jasmine Smith. Welcome back, Jasmine. How are
you
today?
Thank you. I'm doing well.
You're feeling better than you were last week.
Yes, and thanks to Chris Hughes for filling in for me.
Save the.
I texted Robert like 2 hours prior. I was hoping I would feel better, and I just didn't. And I went to the doctor, and I was like, I can't do this. So I was like, Robert, call Chris. He can do it.
And he did.
And he did.
He did. Admirable fill-in. Well, this week we have a couple of stories to bring you that are more policy-oriented. Jasmine's going to talk to us a little bit about the film tax incentive that has been on the books in Kentucky for several years. It's been in the news lately in the midst of all of the pension reform and potential tax reform that might be making its way through the legislature. And I'm going to be talking a little bit about roads, which are also important.
All right, roads and movies, roads. Topics you wouldn't expect on a politics podcast.
Brought to you by James Dean. That was a bad joke. All right, Jasmine, tell us about movies.
Okay, so today we're talking about a part of state government that many people probably don't think about, and that's movie production incentives. So, Robert, can you think of some movies made in Kentucky?
Jasmine, once upon a time, I had a movie podcast.
I know you did.
So I actually know significant number. I don't think I'm a representative person to talk about movies made in Kentucky.
There's okay, like, well, what are the biggest ones, do you think?
Well, all the big horse ones were made in Kentucky, like Seabiscuit.
Seabiscuit was.
Secretariat.
That's right. I feel like there's a big movie, there's one that I always think about.
Bridges of Madison County, that is one.
I didn't know that one. I was thinking of Elizabethtown.
Elizabethtown.
With Orlando Bloom.
Yes, that's a big one. Yes, all the ones where people would always talk about people being... Was Kirsten Dunst in Bridges of Madison?
Yes.
She
was in Elizabethtown.
Oh, okay. Well, her and Orlando Bloom used to always go to like the Whole Foods in Louisville while they were shooting it, so they would always be like citing. And there was another movie recently with Nicolas Cage in it where he was around a lot. There's that one that's called like, that was made this year, I think, that's called like Trouble Girls or Suicide Girls or like
Tragedy Girls.
Yeah, that's kind of a weird indie movie. It has like Craig Robinson in it from The Office,
right?
But I think it did well at like South by Southwest, but I don't think it made much money.
It didn't. Okay. That's correct. It did not. So that's quite a few movies that you thought of.
Yeah, I'm not that representative of the normal Kentuckian when it comes to movies made here.
All right. So anyways, about once a month or so, people appointed by the governor meet in a secret session to discuss movie making. So the goal is to get filmmakers to film their movies in Kentucky, and they agree to use taxpayer money to do so. But it seems like no one wants to talk about it, and we don't know a lot about what goes on in those meetings. Kate Howard from the Kentucky Center for Investigative Reporting did a piece about this, and no one from the cabinet returned a request for comment, nor did Bevin's spokeswoman, nor did the sponsor of the bill that allows the state to do this,
right,
nor did the executive director from the Kentucky Film Office or the spokesman for the cabinet. So no one wanted to talk to her about what goes on with these movie incentives. So
to be fair, nobody ever in government. I like to talk to Kate, but most people in government, when they see Kate Howard on the caller ID, they're like, no.
Okay. Right. So, but no one wants to talk about these film incentives, and they're done very secretly. But 36 states have programs like this, but a lot of states are getting rid of them or scaling them back significantly. Kentucky first created the program in 2009, and we subsidize 20% of all in-state costs incurred if someone makes a movie here. And then in 2015, they increased it to 35%. That's pretty big.
That's a very big, right? Yeah. Especially, I mean, if you're making, you know, a $10,000 movie, maybe that's not such a big deal. But, you know, like The Avengers, I think, is going to cost like several hundred million dollars. 35% of that would be substantial.
Right. And so Kentucky and Georgia are actually the only states that have programs without a cap. Most states have like a 15% cap on subsidies or 20%. The states that even have incentives programs anymore anyways.
Yeah.
And so the two biggest films that have been made here were Seabiscuit and Elizabethtown, and those both came before the program, actually.
Yeah. Georgia's actually been, successful is obviously something weird and
right,
relative because it's like, but you will see oftentimes in TV shows, it'll be like, made in Georgia.
And it has right, like so I think that they are... ahead of California, maybe, or something like that, or right behind them.
They have my favorite TV show, Atlanta, with Donald Glover.
That's right. That is a good TV show.
Yeah.
So Georgia has had success at this, and people who support these film incentives, large film incentives programs like the one that we have now since the increase, would say, well, Georgia's successful because they wrote it out.
Right.
You know, they kind of waited to see, and now they're having all kinds of success with it. And so that's what we're going to try to do. But we're the only states that don't have caps. Other movies that were filmed here, you mentioned Secretariat, and the movie Tammy was partially filmed here. Do you remember that movie?
Melissa McCarthy?
It's a Melissa McCarthy movie.
I did not see that one.
I thought it was good, but it was set in Louisville, but only very partially filmed here because at the time North Carolina had a better incentives program, so they filmed a lot of it in North Carolina, even though it was supposed to be set in Louisville, and just filmed some things here and there.
It's really funny how a lot of these incentives work, because a lot of the times the locations have to like at some point make an appearance in the movie. So like if you know the movie Homeland, or not the movie, the TV show Homeland, like the CIA director or something, I don't know, somebody high up in secret government stuff lives in North Carolina because North Carolina had such a generous tax incentive. So there's all these like random North Carolina scenes in Homeland, and that's the reason why.
Right.
Yeah, I guess North Carolina's probably, I don't know, have they scaled theirs back substantially?
I'm not sure if they have or not, but most states have.
Right.
And these programs also apply to commercials. But so a lot of the companies that are getting subsidies for commercials would probably be filming here anyways, like bourbon companies. Sleep Outfitters is one of them.
Is Sleep Outfitters like a Kentucky joint? Is that like a thing? Really?
Right. So they'd probably film here anyways, but because of this big incentives program we have, they save a lot of money on their commercials.
Mingy beef jerky. Like Al Purnell's old folks sausage.
Those are examples. Some other examples of things that have been filmed here. Call of the Wild Man.
Was that
was an Animal Planet reality show about a turtle man.
The turtle man. And and they got in like a lot of trouble.
He ended up getting some very bad press and it was canceled.
Like animal cruelty stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, not good. Not a good look.
There's a Lifetime movie called Secrets in Suburbia.
I'm sure my mother-in-law is all over that.
And a Hallmark Channel movie called An Uncommon Grace, and it was an Amish romance classic.
100%, definitely. If it's on the Hallmark Channel, my mother-in-law is definitely on that.
So those are some of the movies, films, commercials that have received these incentives. So this is all part of the Kentucky Tourism Arts and Heritage Cabinet, and the group that approves the funds is called the Tourism Development Finance Authority. So lots of really long names here. And they've approved over $50 million in incentive requests since August. That's a lot of money in incentive requests, and we've apparently never denied one.
Wow.
We don't really have a lot of details about the impact of the production incentives. All we know is that they list the LLCs that are receiving the funds. That's it. But so far, we've only paid out $11 million of the $50 million that's been approved. So this means that some of the requests don't actually end up making their films here. But they could, and you've promised that money.
Yeah, and not only that, not only may they not make their films here, they might just get canceled outright. You know, the movie industry is notoriously fickle like that. So, yeah, all kinds of stuff could happen.
But we have paid out $11 million, which is still pretty substantial. Even the state representative, Democrat Rick Rand, who originally sponsored the bill, said that they thought this would be like a $3 to $5 million a year thing, not 50.
That's a lot.
That's a big discrepancy.
He was off by a factor of 200% there. So.
Right. So Kate Howard tries to attend a meeting to find out more about this because it seems really secretive. And the cabinet spokesman demanded her name and her motivation. And the cabinet's general counsel called her openly hostile and said that she declined to sign the attendance sheet and demanded to know the legal basis for their secret sessions. And just a note, it's well within her rights to not sign an attendance sheet.
Yeah. And I mean, Kate Howard's an incredibly good reporter who's found a lot of really good stuff out. And I mean, you know, that's important for her to be able to do that. But, you know, I kind of understand like where they're coming from. They don't want investigative reporters, but there's better ways to be like, hey,
right.
I mean, and that's the other thing. You can't be doing, if you're going to be doing shady stuff, you can't be too surprised when investigative reporters show up at your meetings and stuff. So,
exactly.
I don't know.
But according to Kate's article, some local production companies are seeing benefits from these incentives, such as clients spending more money because of the subsidies. They're able to hire more workers. They have more people on staff than they used to. But KSEP, the Kentucky, What's that stand for?
You got it in the incorrect
acronym. I do. Kentucky Center for Economic Policy. That's right.
You got tripped up because you put KECP there. I did.
The Kentucky Center for Economic Policy says that the costs outweigh the benefit, and it's largely just bringing in out-of-state workers, not workers that will be here for good permanently.
Not just that, Jasmine. When I did the movie podcast, the person that I did it with ended up going into the film industry because of this tax incentive.
Really?
And then left the state. So we lost all of his tax income. So,
well, there you go. Anecdotal evidence, right?
R.I.P. Chris Ritter.
The Secretary of the Cabinet has said that there's been no economic impact study. So it's really hard to tell what kind of costs or benefits that we're seeing. But obviously, a lot of states are getting rid of these programs. And that's mostly because experts and policy people are saying that the real beneficiaries are the nomadic film industry.
Yeah. And
like your old podcasting friend.
Yeah. And the real beneficiary here is California. So obviously Los Angeles has never really had a tax incentive because they never needed one. And now it seems like the industry will probably come home to where all the infrastructure is.
Right. And there's a professor from USC who is kind of the expert in this and has published several papers talking about that local industries aren't really getting the benefits of this, and that's really people who are out-of-state workers.
Right.
A Republican representative, Paul Hornback, plans to sponsor a bill to scale back or totally eliminate the program, and he's been very public about being upset that it all seems to be done in secret. So I guess that's something we can maybe expect in the next legislative session. But the gist of all of this is Kentucky is a huge outlier now. So many states are totally eliminating these programs or they're scaling them way, way back. And it seems like we are just totally doubling down.
Yeah.
And we just continue to increase the program and promise all this money. And so in the wake of a pension crisis, when we're trying to see how we can fix the pension system, this seems like something that can maybe be reformed. This is somewhere you could not cost taxpayers money. And so maybe we'll see what happens with Paul Hornback's bill, right, if he files that. But right now we're offering very large film incentives if you want to film your movie here.
Yeah, I mean, the case for removing them seems pretty straightforward. We spent a lot of money on making movies, and it doesn't seem like it benefits many of the people here. If you wanted a countervailing opinion, it might be that the reason why a lot of these film incentive things failed is because so many states tried to implement them all at once. Like North Carolina had a big one, Georgia had a big one, then Montana had one, Kentucky, you know, got in on the action, New York had a big one. Like all these states started getting in on the action, and so
around the same time,
at exactly the same time. And if everybody's scaling back theirs at the same time, and Kentucky sticks around, you know, they stand a chance to actually get an industry.
Right.
That's highly unlikely to happen. But if you wanted to know the reason why you might want to support it, that would be one reason. Yeah, I remember talking about this actually on the movie podcast and with a filmmaker in Kentucky who was just like, we have to be much more competitive with our film tax incentive. We need to be giving even more money. And, you know, the public policy person in the background of my mind being like, that seems like a bad idea. I don't know if I was harsh enough with him. Anyways, yeah, Jasmine, this has been a crazy story. And the secretive stuff is really disconcerting as well, don't you think?
Right. And I think what I read is that these used to be open sessions. And in the last few years, they've done it in closed session. And so I don't know if they have an exemption or a legal basis for that, but that's what they're doing.
Well, and one of the things I did read about this, I'm pretty sure, was that they used to release the synopsis of the movie or thing that was being made, and then they kind of stopped doing that.
Because a lot of them are lower budget.
And kind of crazy.
And, yeah.
Wait, what was the movie called that I forgot the name of before? That something girls, like
Tragedy Girls.
Yeah, the synopsis of that sounds crazy, but I only saw the trailer. It seemed actually kind of good, so whatever. Maybe they'll release it in more film festivals. Okay, Jasmine, thank you for talking to us about movies. Okay, Jasmine, I want you to take a guess. You have the notes in front of you, so this isn't going to be a guess.
Okay, well,
how many miles of roadway are there in the state of Kentucky?
I'm not really good with mileage statistics. I would say more than 50,000.
Yeah, getting warm.
But maybe less than 100?
You nailed it, right in the middle. 78,000 miles of roadway,
okay,
in the state of Kentucky. Of the 78,000 miles of roadway, 35% are under the control of state government. So, you know, there's a bunch of roads. Obviously, the big federal highways are, you know, the federal government takes care of those. There's all kind of streets that are under the purvey of the city governments. There's county roads. And then there's state roads that are taken care of by the state of Kentucky. And sometimes it gets kind of weird because there's sometimes the bigger roads in the middle of cities, like Bardstown Road in mm-hmm. Louisville, Kentucky. That is technically a state road, Nicholasville Road in Lexington. That, those are huge arteries in the middle of big big cities that are controlled by the state government. Not only does the state control 35% of the roads in the state, they also control over 13,500 bridges. That blew my mind when I saw that. There's 13,500 bridges in the state of Kentucky.
That's an insane amount of bridges.
You know, and some of them are pretty small, and some right. of them don't actually like go over, you know, they don't necessarily have to go over water. You can go over other roads between hills, etc. But that's a whole lot of bridges, 13,500 that are under the purvey of the state of Kentucky. And Kentucky is required to take care of these things, inspect them, make sure they're safe, repave them, take, you know, salt them whenever there's snow, etc., etc. That's a lot of work to do, and that is a lot of money that's required to do all those things. Jasmine, we've talked about this before, but 2018, the next legislative session is a regular session, which means it's a session where the General Assembly has to pass a budget.
And that's a longer session.
Yeah, 60 days. Yeah, and that's the reason it's longer. Well, they used to only have these even year sessions, but yeah, it's longer because they have to pass a budget. The budget, in a way, is kind of two budgets. There is the general fund, which you take into account all the money that you receive via taxes and you know, all the money that you're going to spend on whatever. And then there's a road fund. The road fund is kind of its own budget. It has its own incomes and it has its own expenditures. They're such a big deal that they get their own whole section in the budget. And if you get like the budget synopsis for the state of Kentucky, it's like general fund and then second page, road fund. During the last budget, road appropriations were $1.5 billion annually, and the general fund appropriations were between $10.3 billion and $11.3 billion annually. So, you know, that's like one-tenth of the whole budget goes towards roads. That's a huge chunk.
Right.
The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet is the massive agency that's tasked with overseeing all of the roads and collecting and spending a lot of this money. They're in charge of, you know, inspections of bridges, inspections of roads, building roads, repairing roads, all that kind of stuff. Anything that has to do with state roads, the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet is in charge of it, plus other stuff like aviation, driver's licensing, and motor vehicle registrations. They're in charge of all that stuff. That cabinet itself started in 1912 with a budget of $25,000.
Oh, that's so small.
Yeah, and I actually did some like inflation calculator stuff. That's still only like $650,000 in today's money.
Oh, which really?
Okay. Roads are more important now than they were in 1912. Come to think of it. You got to think too, you know, cars and stuff. Nowadays, there are like thousands of employees across like five huge departments. They regulate and manage things. Okay, so the KYTC itself, the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet, is funded by appropriations partly, but more than half of the revenue for the KYTC, it comes from taxes on gasoline. So Jasmine, remember a few years ago when gas was like $4.50 a gallon?
Oh my gosh, yes. I do.
It was really bad, and it sucked a lot, and we had to pay a whole bunch more money for gas. It is not that high anymore.
No, it kind of hovers around between $2 and $3
right.
a gallon.
Yeah, for people in posterity who are listening to this 50 years in the future. Probably. Yeah, so, you know, nowadays it's, you know, almost half of what it was. And, you know, that has the number of roads, the amount of roadage hasn't changed in that meantime. So the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet's asked to be doing the same amount or more with less money. And not just the fact that the price has gone down, but cars have actually become significantly more efficient. There's
right.
all kinds of CAFE standards, federal standards that means cars have to be more efficient. Hybrid and electric vehicles are much more popular now than they were. I mean, they exist now and they didn't, you know, that long ago. So that means that gas taxes have actually come down substantially in recent years. So actually, in 2015, in response to all this, the state enacted a floor on the gas tax. So the gas tax is like a percentage that's tacked onto the price of gas. Essentially, what the floor does is it means that the tax itself, the percentage can't be below 26 cents per gallon. So whatever that percentage is, if that percentage drops below something that would net 26 cents per gallon, it just stays at 26 cents. So the price could go down and down and down. The tax per gallon is 26 cents. the tax currently is that floor, 26 cents, and it will probably remain there for the foreseeable future until it goes, you know, above like $3 a gallon. We're going to be stuck at 26 cents. So that was enacted in 2015, and then during 2016, the cash balance in the road fund got like super low. So even though they implemented this floor, the cash balance got really, really, really low. The expenditures during the 2014 budget, so that was for 2015 or the year 2015 and year 2016, they ended up being about $500 million above revenues. In response, you know, to the huge cash imbalance that happened there, you know, if you spend $500 million more than you take in, you're going to like reduce the number amount of cash that you have on hand. In response to that, KYTC implemented something they called a Pause 50, which is a cool name to basically say that they're just going to stop doing any new work. They are going to set a pause until they got $50 million in the bank. So that just meant that, like, basically last year, the state of Kentucky did not start any new projects and just kind of finished them out. This is also got tangled up in some politics last year in Nicholasville. We talked about that last year when we had our show.
We did.
Yeah.
There was a big road project that was supposed to start, and Bevin may or may not have threatened someone that he would stop it.
Yeah, that project thought maybe it would slide under the, and they kind of didn't. So regardless, this Pause 50 went into effect to kind of say we're not going to start anything new until we have $50 million in the bank. And basically, at the end of the first half of 2017, that finally happened, and we're kind of now at the point where the state is actually starting to do some new projects. The Bevin administration implemented a program called SHIFT, and the SHIFT is supposed to prioritize projects. So obviously, even if they have $50 million in the budget because they haven't spent anything new, there's a lot of stuff that needs to get done. And the SHIFT program is supposed to help the KYTC to kind of prioritize what's going on. And they are calling it data-driven. And they say that they're basing their scoring on improving safety, preserving existing infrastructure, reducing congestion, fueling economic growth, and spending tax dollars wisely, based on costs and benefits. So, you know, in June of this year, KYTC released their list of about $50 million in projects that are going to get funded during the rest of 2017. So that's great. That stuff is starting to happen. And it's also really good because, you know, instead of it being a function of, you know, I owe this politician a favor, or I lived in this place and I know that this road needs some work. It's data driven. There's a formula that's being applied. That's a good policy to put in place. But kind of the problem is that according to the KYTC, the state has about $6 billion in unfunded road projects. So when you're talking about $6 billion in unfunded projects, $50 million in projects is kind of, you know, a drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
It's like less than 1% of what needs to get done.
Right.
Well, it looks like KYTC is working hard to prioritize the money that they have and, you know, working hard to make sure that the final financial health of the department is preserved, even with the low revenues that are coming in. The state really hasn't been able to make a dent in a roads problem with the funding sources that we have. So, you know, we just don't have enough money coming in, which is a theme across state government. There just isn't enough money to do the things that need to get done. So, unlike a lot of the stuff with other things like the social worker crisis or the pension crisis or whatever other pieces of government that needs to happen, because the state has a road fund and a road fund budget, there can be a little bit more finagling when it comes to roads. You can kind of work a little bit more with the gas taxes. And many members of the legislature have floated several different ideas about how to increase the amount of money in the road fund. One of the ideas is just to straight up raise the gas tax, which that would give us more money to work with. And another thing that have been talking about, that people have been talking about, not just in Kentucky, but this is something that definitely exists in Kentucky, is that people who drive electric cars and other high-efficiency vehicles need to pay some sort of different tax to ensure that they, or we, I drive,
you are included.
Yeah, I'm included in this, pay a fair share. You know, we'll be paying attention to how that discussion goes during the upcoming session, but, you know, it raises an interesting point, which is like, you know, we want to, obviously the use of gasoline burning gasoline is bad for the environment, so you want to incentivize people using less of something that's bad, and you can do that through the, you know, the tax code. You also want to encourage people to do something like buy more fuel efficient vehicles by saying, hey, you have lower taxes on these things.
Right. And there's, but we're saying we're going to give you a different tax now.
Right. So, you know, it is a kind of a complicated thing, but the roads, I mean, the logic behind the road fund is like, you know, a usage fee. You get you put gas in your car, and that's a good proxy to say the more that you use the roads, the more you have to pay, right?
So, right.
But, you know, that equation's kind of been turned on its head now because people have more efficient vehicles or drive cars that don't use gas at all. And finding a way to maintain that the wear and tear on the road is repaired based on the money that the people that use the roads is a good proxy. And that's another really interesting thing is like hybrid cars, because of their batteries, they actually weigh a significant amount more than cars of a similar size. So they do a lot more damage to the roads and pay less in taxes. So I'm a huge problem when it comes to the road fund. So, you know, this is another huge problem that's being faced by the state of Kentucky. But we wanted to spend some time talking about road funds and road budgets, because when the budget comes up, it will be a huge issue. And it will be something that might actually get some work done, because it doesn't involve, like, raising income taxes or tax reform. They can just work with the road budget. And that is, I think, is a section of the law that might actually get some work done in there. Okay, Jasmine, are you ready for some quick hits?
Go for it.
Jasmine, the Supreme Court of Kentucky, or Skokie.
Skokie.
As we like to call it. They're going to hear a gay rights case featuring the Lexington t-shirt company Hands on Originals, which was ruled in violation of Lexington's fairness ordinance by the city's Human Rights Commission. Do you own any Hands on Originals t-shirts?
I have bought one shirt there whenever John Calipari came to you, whenever the day that they announced him coming to UK, they printed these shirts that say like, envy our past, fear our future.
Yeah.
And I bought one of those shirts there.
I've had a bunch of different Hands on Originals t-shirts in the past. Basically, people use them to print stuff. And I think that was what was happening. Like, the gay rights group wanted to have like shirts made for the parade. And they were like, no, we're not going to do that. If I'd have known that this group was really, you know, homophobic, I wouldn't have taken those t-shirts.
Right. So. I didn't know at the time.
Yeah. Well, we know now. Okay, next thing. Jasmine, Pegasus Institute has been in the news recently. Yesterday, it was announced they hired two professors, one from U of L and one from UK, to be researchers. That's a huge step in the right direction for them, and definitely can be seen as addressing the issues that Pat and I brought up in that one really, really terribly awkward show that we had.
Right, and you know, that's a good thing. If they want to be a research institute, having professional researchers would help.
Yeah, actually, after the whole show was over, I remember sitting here and like really, that was the weirdest end of a show ever. I just turned off the recording and I was like, now we have to sit here with each other, and it was terrible. But one of the things that Jordan did ask Pat is, what is one thing that we can do to improve our standing with you? And Pat said, hire some real researchers. And they went out and did that. So there you go. Who's to say if Pat helped them or not? But they did that. And now they can go from being somebody that we complain about for making up false information to somebody that we say, you cherry pick data and you're researching things with preconceived notions in mind, which is what we do with most other conservative think tanks around the city, which I think is a significantly better debate to have. And we're having that. Chris Cole wrote a piece about them in the Courier Journal that made that case, which I think is a better case to make. I think that's an improving discourse.
Right.
I don't know. That's just my thoughts on it. Lastly, Jasmine, Winston Bennett, the former Kentucky basketball player turned Bevin administration labor cabinet staffer, was fired for sending really gross and flirtatious emails to women. You read that story this week, didn't you?
I did. It's just real sad. And he's had similar issues in other positions in the past, and it's super sad, and I don't like it. But, you know, you got to be fired for doing things like that.
Sorry to the women that he did gross stuff to, and hopefully he's able to, like, get some help for whatever problems.
Right. It sounds like he definitely needs some help, and that was probably the right move.
Yeah. All right, Jasmine, how can people get a hold of us?
They can find us on Twitter at @myoldkypod. We have a Facebook page that you can like, My Old Kentucky Podcast. We post our show notes on Medium, and you can find our podcast on any podcasting app.
Okay, Jasmine, thanks, and we will see everybody next week.